Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Coming up, two new reports have been published looking at how complaints about health and social care services are handled. There's news from the north with the latest issues discussed by Andrew's commissioners last night. Plus, a late equaliser keeps FC Isle of Man's mini revival going. That's all coming up in the next half hour. First of all, the update news headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast Am I.
The Department of Health and Social Care has published two reports examining how complaints about the island's health and social care services are handled. Together, they show progress in transparency and responsiveness, but highlight ongoing challenges around workforce culture and communication. Reducing the rate of VAT paid by hospitality businesses on the island would directly impact government's provision of frontline services. That's according to the Treasury Minister. It comes amid calls from the sector for help, as many say they're struggling with rising costs. Here's Alex Allingson.
To cut VAT to 5%, as we did during COVID, would cost approximately £25 to £30 million a year. That's almost the entire amount we spend on DEFA. That's almost the entire amount we spend on our police force.
Sport and the Manx Rams have suffered another defeat in the 2025 Sing Life Nations Cup, this time a 59-46 loss at the hands of Malaysia today. It's a fourth straight game at the tournament where the Isle of Man side has come away empty-handed, with Malaysia currently sitting three places above the island squad in the world netball rankings. And a yellow weather warning remains in place until early tomorrow morning for coastal overtopping. Forecasters say exposed coastal areas are likely to be most affected. Further afield, Donald Trump has suggested the US government shutdown could have been to blame for a Democrat winning the New York mayoral race. Newly elected Zohran Mamdani describes himself as the president's nightmare. Speaking at the White House, Mr. Trump made this comment.
I think if you read the pollsters, the shutdown was a big factor, negative for the Republicans. And they say that I wasn't on the ballot was the biggest factor. But I don't know about that, but I was honored that they said that.
Some breaking news. Surrey Police has confirmed it's searching for a 35-year-old, William Smith, an offender wrongly released from HMP Wandsworth in South London yesterday, from where a 24-year-old Algerian man was freed in error last week. The dad of the Southport attacker says he didn't confront his son when he bought a machete because he feared he would fly into a rage. And England's school curriculum is changing. Primary age children will learn about misinformation and GCSE exam time will be cut. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Garamayu Siobhan, on to the weather. Continuing cloudy this evening with further outbreaks of occasional rain or drizzle. Moderate to fresh southerly winds, a minimum temperature of 12 Celsius. Another dull and cloudy day tomorrow, with patchy light rain or drizzle at times, mainly light southeast winds and quite mild, with temperatures up to 15 degrees Celsius, and remaining unsettled on Friday with rain at times and moderate to fresh southeast winds.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farmhill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's going to be at least a week before Legislative Council members will be asked to vote on the third reading of the bill that could take away the bishop's vote. Standing orders were not suspended to enable that final third reading to be taken yesterday, and an amendment to suspend any action until after the present bishop's departure failed. The mover of the private members' bill, Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper, says he understands why the church would like to retain the vote.
I don't think it's as big a change as it looks on the surface of things, but actually kind of the reason we're elected in the first place is to do something that quite literally only 33 people on the island can do, and that's change the law. And so when you've got a mandate to do something, when you've got people saying this is the right way forward, when you consult with the public and it's supported, actually you kind of have an obligation to do these things. And whatever it is we're talking about, you know, whether it's changing the way the Tynwald functions, whether it's the way we fix our roads, whatever it may be, actually that's kind of the job.
Do you think the bishop is going to go?
I don't think so, and I understand why you'd make that position clear. I think if you were the church, obviously it's in their interest to retain a vote around the table, but actually the reality is the bishop means a lot more to the island, and that came through quite clearly from the consultation response, and even the committee report actually came through very clearly. There's lots of other benefits in having that role, and having that role sat around the table in Legislative Council. So I think if there was any big movement off the back of this, I think that would be quite a retrograde step. But ultimately, as I've tried to maintain from the outset here, Parliament is for Parliament and the church is for the church, and actually I don't think it's right for someone in my position to be telling the church how to organise their affairs. That really shouldn't be up to me. It should be up to the congregations of that church, it should be up to the structures and the people that actually are a part of that body to make those decisions.
There's no cause for a plan B perhaps, as what happens if we have our own bishop in our own Isle of Man?
It's interesting because the bill that I've brought forward actually reconfirms in statute that the bishop has a seat around the table. And so actually it puts that again in Manx law. And so if there was going to be anything to happen to change that situation, I think we'd have to change the law again to say, actually, no, we don't want the bishop around the table anymore, or even we don't want a bishop at all. It'd be interesting now to see if someone tries to take that away. Well, actually, do you need to go back through the legislative process again and have another piece of primary legislation to remove the bishop completely? The answer is quite possibly.
Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper talking there to John Moss. Now, two new reports have been published looking at how complaints about the island's health and social care services are being handled. They come from Manx Care and from the Independent Health and Social Care Ombudsman body, both painting a picture of progress, but also some familiar challenges. Christian Jones has been looking through them and he joins me now. So what do these reports actually show?
Yeah, vast am I, Dave. Well, the first comes from Manx Care itself and shows a big rise in the number of formal complaints, up from 264 to 443 over the past year. But despite that increase, Manx Care met all of its response deadlines and handled most complaints within the required timeframes. Now, the main themes were clinical treatment, access to appointments, and staff behaviour or communication. And those are areas that government says are being tackled through this new behavioural framework for staff.
And from what I understand, the second report's from the Ombudsman?
Yeah, exactly. The Ombudsman body independently reviews complaints that couldn't be resolved by Manx Care. It received 29 new cases last year, issued 27 decision notices, and actually completed all legacy complaints that it inherited from its predecessor. However, though, it did criticise the fact that Manx Care didn't publish any written responses to its recommendations during that reporting year, something that's now said to have started to improve.
Okay, let's sum this up then. Overall, what's the government saying about the findings?
Yeah, so the Health and Social Care Minister, Claire Christian, says the reports show a positive picture of ongoing improvement, even with the higher number of complaints. Her department's view is that the system is becoming more open and accountable, but communication and workplace culture still need continued focus if confidence in services is to improve.
Thank you, Christian. Both of those reports will be handed over to Tynwald later this month. Andrea's commissioners met last night and discussed a number of issues, including the wrongful installation of fencing on its playing field, an update on the maintenance of the parish hall, and a date for the delivery of the village Christmas tree. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the meeting.
The commissioners were told that Harris fencing had been put up around part of the parish's playing field by the primary school. Chair Jackie Farragher, who also sits on the school board, said often the children had been caught climbing on banking they shouldn't have been, and the fencing could be being used as a deterrent. However, Clerk Maureen Callow said the field belongs to the residents, and the commissioners are custodians of it. She added that it should have been installed after going through the proper channels, and there are now questions around liability for injuries and whether the fencing will be permanent. Mrs. Callow said an agreement was reached several years ago, which states that any work needing to be carried out should be agreed by the commissioners first. Commissioner David Bolton told the board it should be down to the teachers to ensure the children aren't playing out of bounds. The board agreed to write to the school and the Department of Education, Sports and Culture about the issue. Also on the agenda was an update about the maintenance of the parish hall. A quote had been received from an apprentice to paint and power wash the building. The commissioners agreed to provide the paint. The board were also told a quote for Wi-Fi installation had been requested and for tunnelised fencing to go around the outside of the hall. And the parish Christmas tree will be arriving at the end of the month. The board agreed to have it installed during the last week of November, and Mrs. Farragher said new lights have also been ordered for the tree. Andrew's commissioners will next meet on Tuesday the 2nd of December.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Quick look at sport now, and an own goal in the 12th minute of second half stoppage time helped FC Isle of Man grab a point in a 3-3 draw at Exton Villa in the North West Counties Football League Premier Division last night. Speaking to the club's media at full time, caretaker manager Rick Holden praised his side's performance and believes a point is the least they deserved.
Well, I'm delighted for the lads because we got a lot of stuff against them tonight. It was another one of those when we seem to court this sort of disaster of, that, you know, deflected goals, penalties that are dodgy, you know, linesmen coming up with cramp, they put someone on who's not capable in our opinion, but running about with trainers on. And they come back 3-3, brilliant. First half we didn't show too much quality on the ball in, and we were sort of hesitant, but you know, when push came to shove and we had to put a great ball in, Steve Whitley's well capable of that. It was a great ball, he deserves to claim it, but on goal, and it couldn't happen to a nicer team in my opinion. You know, the lads have been brilliant. There's a lot of adversity today with the travel as well. It was like we were late, it was Manchester Airport doing the best for Lancashire. And we've still come out with a 3-3 draw, and you know, but for us clearance off the line as well, we could have again nicked it.
We've had a lot of travel and support as well tonight.
Yeah, they were brilliant again, and making a lot of noise at the end. And I think we piled the pressure on, I think totally deserved, and you know, I'm just delighted for them that, you know, last game before the game's in the new year, and we can go home happy, and let's see if we can get that elusive home victory on Saturday.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Yeah, FC Isle of Man will be in action at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. On to the travel then. So the Manxman is due into Douglas around 6 o'clock. It departed Heysham just before 2. At the airport, so departures, the 6:30 service to Liverpool is due to depart on time. The 7:20 EasyJet to Gatwick is also showing us on time. Unfortunately, the Loganair's Edinburgh service, due to go at 7:55, is now showing as 8:15. In terms of the arrivals, Loganair Manchester due in at 6:05. EasyJet's Gatwick due in at 7:10. A delay obviously on the Edinburgh Loganair. It was due in at 7:25, now showing as 7:45. Loganair's London City is on time at 8:10. And Loganair's Liverpool is also due to arrive at Ronald's Way at 8:20.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The City of Douglas annual Bonfire Night fireworks display is due to get underway this evening at 6:30. Alongside the show itself, there'll be a Best Eco Guy competition, as well as food vendors on hand for a bite to eat. Councillor Natalie Byron-Tier has been telling us more.
Last year, seeing the beach cast after a few years of having the barge cast, to me, made a significant difference, you know, having it right in the bay. So I'm excited that that's actually staying the same. We have our guy competition, which is the same, but we have a little twist this year where we're going for an eco-friendly guy. I had to actually Google how would you make an eco-friendly guy. So from recyclable material. So I'm interested to see what people come up with for that. Get you guys in by 6 o'clock. It'll be judged by the mayor, and we also have a few takeaway vendors down. So yeah, just that normal exciting vibe.
It is going to be busy though, so I'm guessing the roads and the parking and everything, you need to kind of plan in advance, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We always recommend it's 6:30 for the actual firing of the fireworks, so we always recommend get down early. if you're wanting to bring vehicles. Public transport, of course, that time of the evening, it's all accessible. If you can use public transport, definitely recommend it. You can then go into town afterwards if you really want to. So yeah, plan ahead, yeah. I would say, because it does get very busy, doesn't it?
This weekend, we did, of course, lose one of the displays because of the weather. How bad does weather have to be before they actually sort of say, because it's looking, at the minute, a bit windy. I mean, that's okay, isn't it?
It's looking possibly wet, and a little bit windy is okay. Obviously, health and safety is an issue, so it's too windy. We have to be very conscious of that. But really, it's the Isle of Man, isn't it, Christy? If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. You just never know what it's going to be like. So it'll be called a couple of hours before if it
either
absolutely
way,
has to be. But at the moment, keep everything crossed for us, because I love my fireworks.
You're listening to Update on Manx Radio. A Tymal committee whose brief is to examine the links between poverty and attainment at schools has quizzed the chief officer of the Education Department about the loss of so-called nurture rooms. These are areas away from mainstream classrooms, specifically for children with additional needs, including emotional or behavioural support. The groups were dismantled in 2013 in favour of an all-school approach. Graeme Kinraid has been questioned by committee member and former teacher East Douglas East MHK, Joni Farragher.
Some schools will need a nurture room or a nurture provision, dependent on the challenges that the children have. And equally, they may need it this year, but they may not need it next year. So you need to have that flexibility of how do we educate children? What does the nurturing philosophy look like? And if a school needs to allocate a space for a year or 2 years because of specific children with specific needs, they will do that. But again, it's empowering and entrusting schools to understand the needs of their children and to provision accordingly.
I was teaching at the time, and the nurture groups, the funding was cut for them. Those children had to then go into mainstream classes when they were mostly in the nurture classroom. So that will have surely had an impact upon the whatever it was that the child was in nurture for. So was there any impact assessment done on that at the time?
Was any impact assessment done to say that those nurture rooms were having a positive outcome on the learning outcomes of those children?
That's a good question as well, but I asked you the question of was there an impact assessment
it's
done on...
It's difficult to say what's the impact being posed if we didn't know what the impact was before. So we put nurture rooms in because it sounded or felt like a good idea. I don't know, I can't speak for why that happened.
So, I mean, I could tell you, for example, those children suddenly being back in mainstream classes with some of them with significant behavioural issues took a lot of the teacher's attention away from the rest of the class. So, for example, that impact was quite significant in the school that I worked in at the time. Was that looked into by the department at all?
I would suggest maybe that if we go to the concept of that nurturing approach and then look at the growth in staff, which I can't quite remember my numbers are, but hundreds of staff over the last 5 years, if schools felt they needed to provision those into a nurture provision, specifically within a room, there's no reason why they can't do that. I suspect that what schools have learnt over time is actually those resources are best spent enabling those children to stay within the environments where they're learning with their peers and just remove the child at the point they need removing if they need to de-escalate. The department is not saying you shouldn't have nurture rooms anymore. We're providing a provision.
They did at the time, obviously, didn't they?
Again, I can't speak for when I wasn't there. I would guess nobody said close all your nurture rooms. I'm going to guess that somebody said the funding isn't there. Unless you reprovision your funding from elsewhere, then the outcome would be you would close your nurture.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Reducing the rate of VAT paid by hospitality businesses in the island would directly impact government's provision of frontline services, according to Treasury Minister Alex Allenson. It comes amid calls from the sector for help, as many say they're struggling with rising costs. Currently, the rate is 20%, which mirrors the UK's as per the agreement between the two jurisdictions. And while Dr. Allenson says any changes to it would drastically reduce government's income, he's promised that his February budget will look at other ways to relieve some of the pressure.
The reality is that the VAT sharing agreement we have with the UK is extremely important. It raises, we reckon this year, about £390 million. That pays for our NHS. And so any cuts in a particular sector would significantly alter government revenue and our ability to pay for frontline services. So it is important that we work with the hospitality industry. It is important we actually understand the pressures they're under. And also the change in people's personal habits in terms of not going out as often. And we work with the hospitality sector because it is an important part of our economy. But it's also really important we get the books balancing in terms of the finances of the Isle of Man and make sure that that is appropriated in a fair and even way right across the economy. We had conversations earlier on this year in terms of recalculating calculating the share of VAT between us and the United Kingdom. We have ongoing conversations with them in terms of the various changes we've had to the VAT collection agreements and the various ways that rebates are paid back to industry. But it's also really important that we work with the UK, because a lot of the problems that the hospitality industry here faces are very similar across, except we don't have the same quite high business rates. In the budget this year, we did not increase employer national insurance rates. We do have minimum wage increases, but they're in 6 months' time. So we have the chance in next year's budget to look at how we can put more money in people's pockets, we can improve their spending power in the local economy, but also how we can incentivize our local businesses, particularly in the hospitality areas, to actually change their models to make their businesses more sustainable in the future.
We are at the mercy of what the UK does, and there are a lot of speculation about what's going to be happening in the budget. Do you think that's necessarily fair that they can do that to us, but we can't do that to them?
We have a lot of autonomy over our taxation, over our national insurance thresholds. As I've said, we have a VAT sharing agreement. One of the things I said yesterday was that to cut VAT to 5%, as we did during COVID, would cost approximately £25 to £30 million a year. That's almost the entire amount we spend on DEFA. That's almost the entire amount we spend on our police force. So any reduction in indirect taxation, which is collected by the hospitality sector, would directly affect what we can provide in terms of frontline services. We are committed to providing frontline services such as our health service, education and security to the people of this island. We will do that in the right way possible for our island nation, but obviously we do have a strong relationship with the UK, and I'll be looking forward to seeing what Rachel Reeves does at the end of the month.
That's Treasury Minister Alex Anderson talking there to Christian Jones. You're listening to Update on Manx Radio, and the third instalment of the Manx Politics Quote Book has launched. Created by Speaker of the House of Keys Joan Watterson and Quinton Gill, Timwald Ball shares an insight into the lighter side of Timwald. Joan says all proceeds of sales go to charity.
So far, it's raised £15,000 for Southern Befrienders, and now the third edition is going to raise money for Crossroads Caring for Carers. So really good causes, and a fantastic way to have a laugh and provide money for a very, very good cause. I think you can look around the chamber, and when members are on their feet, you know, the blood's rushing to their mouths, and they all of a sudden will see my desk go up and their heart will sink, because it means that they've said something, and it's almost certainly going to end up in Timwald Ball. So I keep a little notepad in the desk drawer and make a note of when I hear something that perhaps a member might regret later, and it'll go in the book. And no one's exempt. I've got ones in there myself, but it's just it is something that's gone from being a bit sort of subversive at the back of it to being something now that has become a bit of an institution in Timwald, really.
So go on, I might be putting on the spot. Three volumes in now. Are there any all-time favourites for you, as obviously you and Quinton are the two main reprobates behind it? So any that really stick in your mind from any of the volumes, really?
I think it's maybe the inner accountant in me, that there's two that always stick in my mind. One is the Peter Caron classic of 10% of nothing is nothing, 20% of nothing is an even bigger nothing. And the other one's one from the late, great Bill Mullarkey, when he said that there are none now and there'll be fewer in the future.
That is classic, isn't it?
People say, do you make these up? And, you know, we are not funny enough to make these up.
For me, I think it's always hard to be another white elephant coming home to roost, I think.
Timwald Balls. The Year of the Manx Language 2026 has been officially launched with an event held in Douglas last night. Blaen na Gaeilge is a year-long programme featuring concerts, events, workshops, educational projects, cultural experiences across the island and internationally. Hosted by Jeebin, the Manx Language Network, more than 100 people gathered at Noah Bakehouse for the launch event, where Chief Minister Alfred Cannon endorsed the campaign. He told Manx Radio why he believes it's important that government supports events like this and the Manx language as a whole.
I think because, you know, our culture, our identity, our heritage is as important, if not more important, than ever as we move forward in a very changing world around us. And I think it's really something to be celebrated and treasured. And as my grandfather said, a nation without its language is not a nation at all, effectively. So I think that we do need to really be careful to ensure that we treasure what we have, look after it and maintain it for the generations to come, as a recognition of our heritage and background and what our forefathers stood for. so that we can carry forward those values and that sense of tradition and that sense of identity. And of course, it does reach out more than just Manx. It reaches out culturally across the boundaries. And I think I'm hoping next year that will be a year of participation as well, not just for everybody who is Manx by birth, but everybody who lives on our island will be able to participate and share in that sense of pride in our island's history and heritage. One of the other things that's been so impressive actually in recent years is this embracing of Manx culture by the younger generation. But you know, I think there's a real breed of youngsters, some of whom we've heard tonight, playing Manx jigs and reels and singing and dancing and actually with it educating as well. But they're doing so in such a way that they're doing it with happiness and with joy. And I think that itself is embracing for anybody who's not really experienced that type of thing before. And I hope will build our nation and bring us all a bit closer together with the year ahead of us, which I hope will be a chance also to celebrate some of the singing and the dancing that goes along with the language.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon. Sport now! In the sports desk is Rob Pritchard.
Vastamai. First off, the Manx Rams have suffered another defeat at the 2025 Singlife Nations Cup, this time a 59-46 loss at the hands of Malaysia today. It's a fourth straight game at the tournament where the Isle of Man side have come away empty-handed, with Malaysia currently sitting three places above the Ireland squad in the world netball rankings in 28th. This latest result follows defeats to Singapore, Singapore A and Papua New Guinea in the last 3 days in what is the Manx Rams' debut appearance at the competition. All teams involved in the event have a rest day tomorrow before action resumes on Friday with the final matches of the round robin phase. Next up for the Manx Rams will be an encounter with the Cup's defending champions Kenya on Friday at 9 a.m. UK time. The competition will then conclude on Saturday with the final and playoff phase, with fixtures for those to be decided after all of the round robin matches are completed. In boxing, we now know who Manx pro fighter Jay Burden will face in her next fight later this month. The Grenade will take on Lindsay Bashinsky in a six-round super featherweight bout at Winter Gardens in Blackpool on Saturday the 29th of November. On social media announcing the update, Burden says it's expected to be a step up in opposition, but she's very excited for the challenge. The Ireland competitor has won all three of her professional bouts so far. The most recent of those was an explosive first-round knockout victory over Sydney Chambers, also at Winter Gardens on the 6th of September. And finally, Crosby Cricket Club has received a significant financial boost to carry out upgrades to its facilities. A £50,000 grant awarded by the Manx Lottery Trust has enabled the replacement of training nets, which have been in place for 14 years. As a result, there are now three lanes available instead of two at the site, and it allows the club to address what it's described as safety concerns related to the current location. Well, Kevin Quine of Crosby Cricket Club says the funds will allow them to meet the growing needs of the club and the local community.
Guramayu Rob. And that's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's News Department. Thank you to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Coming up after this programme is Spotlight, in which a local artist unveils her coastal palette in an exhibition 2 years in the making. Author Joanne Clegg publishes the sixth and final book in her series of two trilogies. Getting the Right Perspective, Art for Healing at the Loom Gallery. Potter's Fair at the Villa Arcade. And it's just a step to the left. The Rocky Horror Show sets up camp at Mad Jack's. That's in Spotlight, coming up after this programme. The stories you've heard on this update and much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. It's always worth giving Manx Radio a like on Facebook, follow us on X, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. That's it from myself. Day Spotlight is up next. Have a good evening. There's got to be fireworks.